Thank you, Dad. Well, it's Sunday afternoon, and people are on their way back to their homes from the Passover. It's been a very unusual week, an unusual weekend. While there was a crucifixion on this Passover, not uncommon, but on this weekend, there was uncommon. Not only were there two thieves crucified, but Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. This Jesus that many thought was going to be the king who would set up a political rule had been killed. Now people are perplexed. People are in sorrow, confused, and many are making their way down the dusty roads home with all kinds of things going on in their heads. Now the word is from the women who went to the tomb earlier in the day that this Jesus has risen from the dead and he's alive, and, well, we haven't seen him. It's news to us, but they say the tomb was empty, but we don't know where he's at. This account is of two men who were walking back to their town, Emmaus, about 6 or 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's been suggested that the very reason that they did not recognize Jesus as he joined them on the road was because Emmaus was west of Jerusalem and the sun was sinking and the setting sun so dazzled them that they did not know their Lord. However that may be, it is true that the Christian is a man or a woman who walks not towards the sunset but towards the sunrise. Long ago it was said to the children of Israel that they journeyed in the wilderness towards the sun rising, according to Numbers 21. The Christian goes onwards, not to a night which falls, but to a dawn which breaks. And that is what, in their sorrow and their disappointment, the two on the road to Emmaus had not realized. They're really sad. They just can't figure it out. They had put all of their plans and their hopes on political rule. And now Jesus is gone. We see two things that happen along the road to Emmaus. Two very important things that, by the way, have to happen to us as well. Because we're all on the road. Each of you have your own road to Emmaus. And as the scripture says, it's a dusty road. There are all kinds of things that keep us from putting our eyes on the Christ of Calvary while we're on the dusty road. So many things. These disciples are wholly heartbroken. Wholly. Wholly heartbroken. That means that their heart is falling apart. They cannot seem to get past the images of what they saw. The man Jesus, he had done no wrong. He had only tried to lead a group of people to do right and to worship God and to love God. And now they've crucified him. And all of our hopes for one who would redirect Israel in the way that they needed to go, that's gone. And so we find these two men are in shock and in grief and perhaps a little angry because of what has happened. They're certainly very confused and maybe even in denial. Kind of like being in a fog, unable to comprehend the magnitude of the loss. Most all of you in here, with the exception of some of our younger ones, can remember where you were and what you were doing on September 11th, 2001. I know exactly where I was. I was in Citrus Memorial Hospital in a waiting room, watching the news or watching, well, actually, we were in another room talking, and I think Kathy was in the room watching the news, and all of a sudden she came in, and we were told that a plane had hit the tower there in New York. We all thought, well, you know, little plane. But then, no, it was a big plane. And we went in and we watched that in disbelief. We could hardly believe what was happening right before our very eyes. And then as we stood there in amazement and watched that first tower crumble to the ground, was absolutely unbelievable. And the immediate thought was, oh, how many people were in that tower whose lives were taken and snuffed out just like that? Many of you will remember where you were the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. I know exactly where I was. I know the intersection where I was when I heard the news bulletin come on the radio. And once again, it was an unbelief. This surely can't be happening. Not in America. Not in our time. And then for days, that's all that was on television. And people were in a state of shock all across our land. This is the kind of feeling that these two men had. So you can identify with them today, what they felt. They were faithful followers of Jesus. They were firsthand witnesses of Christ's arrest and his crucifixion. Now lost in the post-traumatic fog of Sunday, they still can't believe what has happened. It just does not seem real to them. And we find as they're talking among themselves that Jesus joins them. And he said unto them, in verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? He was saying, what are you talking about? And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? They're asking, where have you been, man? Don't you know what has gone on? And then he said unto them, what things? What things? I find it interesting how Jesus picks the brains of people sometimes. How Jesus just makes his approach so smooth. And he really wants to see what's in their hearts today. And then they begin to tell him. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company amazed us who were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us to the sepulcher, certain of those who were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And we haven't seen him. And we're perplexed. And we're upset. That's what things. They had hoped, and now they're hopeless. All of their hopes and their dreams for the future have been crushed by the events of the last 3 days. They had thought they were doing all the right things. You know, you've been there. When you think that you've done everything just right, you've got it all lined up, surely nothing could go wrong with your plans. But the truth of the matter is that all kinds of things can go wrong with our plans. They were following this great teacher who talked about the love of God and who preached about the kingdom of God being at hand, and they had thought that they had it all figured out. But now God, why would you do this? God has pulled some cruel joke on them. Jesus was dead. Their hope was gone. So what's the use? We just go home to more of the same. Wild weekend. Can you relate to that? Have you ever felt like that? Like you've had the rug pulled out from under you? You've had everything planned, everything lined up, everything was in a row just like it ought to be, and all of a sudden something happens and the rug is pulled right out from under you and you fall down. And you wonder, what in the world is going on? Perhaps it's the sudden unfair death of a loved one, or plans that you thought you had all laid out for your career and your family, and they just aren't working. Seemingly impossible struggles with sin and bad habits that you should have victory over by now. And so you're asking, why doesn't God deliver me from this? Why doesn't He take away the desire? Or that look on the doctor's face when he walks out of the exam room and you know that it's not good news. But God is still in control. The Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways. Who can know them? We can only trust Him. But I'll tell you something, when our world is falling apart, when everything seems to be crushing all around us and falling down upon us, it's very difficult to trust, isn't it? It's very difficult to trust. You've tried trusting. Didn't work. These two men had trusted that Jesus, and maybe they were in the crowd that day when He rode into Jerusalem on the backside of that colt. And maybe they were there cheering Him, thinking, our King has finally arrived, and we're not going to have to be under this Roman oppression anymore. He's going to take control. I've heard Him preach. I've heard Him teach. Surely, this is the one that we need. And their hopes and their desires were on high. Then it all fell apart. It's hard to trust now. Then they heard how the women had come running back from the tomb. And the tomb was empty. And they're thinking, well, so much talk, because it did little to alleviate them from their situation. They had watched Him die. They surely weren't going to trust some ranting women who had come back from the tomb saying that it was empty. So it's empty. Where is He? We haven't seen Him. We're on our way home down this dusty road. You've been there. You've hoped. People have told you to trust in God, and you may have said, that may be good for you, but let me tell you, it's not working right now for me. You ever felt like calling out to God and saying, God, have you forgotten where I live? God, have you forgotten what's going on all around me? You say you care about me, but God, it doesn't seem like it. because I don't see you showing up. And I'm walking down my road to Emmaus, and it's a dusty road. Nothing seems to be clearing up. Have you ever been really wholly heartbroken? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Life has just left you broken-hearted. Sure you have. Especially when God is not following your plans. Yeah. God, I had it all figured out. God, I had it all laid out. It was all going to work, God. Oh, yes. They were my plans. Finally, their eyes were opened. Isn't it interesting? When we get to the end of ourselves, God's still there. These men were at the end of themselves. Look at what it says in verse 25 and 26. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, who have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? That was a heart-stopping moment for them. A heart that was wholly broken was just getting ready to go through the healing process. And in verse 27 it says, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And verse 31, And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Wow. They had seen the risen Christ. He had been on the dusty road with them all the time, and they didn't recognize it. Isn't it interesting how we discover, perhaps, in time, that Jesus had been on the road with us all the time, and we just didn't see him? And you know why? Because we were so concerned and so consumed by our plans not being met that we didn't take into consideration what God's plans were for us. And so our eyes remain closed to him because they're so intent on ourselves and what we had planned. And so this brings us then to the second thing that we see that occurred on the road to Emmaus, the encounter with Christ that brought them holy heartburn, H-O-L-Y, heartburn. Their encounter with Jesus changed their heartbreak into heartburn. Had the circumstances changed? No. Circumstances were the same. But their attitude had changed. What they were thinking had changed. But now they had a fire in their souls that would see them through those uncertain times. One of the great things about being a child of God is that when difficult times come, Jesus Christ is with us. He never promised to remove us from the difficult times. He never promised that. But he did promise, I will be with you through them. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on me to be there. They now realize that. Which brings us up to March 30th, 2008. Have you encountered him along your road? You see, faith is believing what you can't see. You must take time to explore His claims and seek Him. And when you seek Him, the Bible promises that you will find Him. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Diligently seek Him. That means not giving up. Not throwing up your hands in despair and saying, "Oh well," but staying true. Continue to seek. On this day, He will not appear to you in the flesh, but His Spirit still speaks to the downcast and still speaks to the hopeless. And we can still hear Him and feel His presence. His Word is still living and powerful and able to light a fire in your soul if you will listen. These two guys, they listened. You know why they listened? Because they were just so perplexed. They had run out of steam. They had run out of answers. They were hopeless. And so they were ready to hear Him. And I know that I wasn't there, but I know that they hated to see Him vanish from their sight. When you're spending time with the Master, that one-on-one, you don't want to leave that. Problem with most of us is that we've just been around God. We've been around the Lord. And we've really not been with Him. Many come around the Lord when they come to church, but they're not with Him. Many come around the Lord when they read their daily Bible readings, but they're not with Him. You see, the difference comes when you really spend time with Him so that He can speak to you and He's willing to hear you speak to Him. You have to be with Him. Don't let the dust of your Emmaus road keep you from seeing the Christ of Calvary. Don't let the obstacles that are in your life keep you from seeing Him and hearing Him and spending time with Him. And He will get you through those difficulties. He will. It may not be like we planned. It rarely is. But it'll be according to His plan. And His plan is always best. It's interesting, their encounter with Christ occurred in the most common of places. Walking down a dusty road, sitting down to a meal. See, that tells me that Jesus is always ready to meet us where we're at. We don't have to get positioned to meet Jesus. He comes to us where we're at. He meets us on our road, in our difficulty, in our trial, in our sorrow, in our brokenheartedness. This is where He meets us. We don't have to positionalize ourselves to be with Him. He positionalizes Himself to be with us. Remember that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the one that came after us. We don't come after Him. He's the initiator. We're not. And when He initiates Himself in your life, you need to listen. You need to pay attention. Because something good is about to happen in your life. Oh, it doesn't mean that all of the circumstances are going to change, but it does mean that you're going to be able to handle the circumstances in a whole different light. Because your heart, you see, is where it needs to be with the Lord Jesus. This morning, He's walking down your road of life, walking down with you right where you are, and Maybe your eyes are holding too, where you don't recognize him because of all that's going on in your life. Maybe you don't recognize him because you're too troubled, because you're too brokenhearted, and you just can't sense his presence. But he's there. Perhaps he's there on your heart, Christian, knocking at your door. And you've had the door closed. For whatever the reason. Maybe you've had a hard time continuing to trust in the situation you're in, but God stays outside the door knocking. And he says, if you'll open the door, I'll come in to you, and I will sup with you. We often think that verse in Revelation has to do with someone coming to know Christ. No, no. That's God knocking at the heart's door of the Christian who has shut the door. Because nothing else is working, and so Jesus doesn't work either, so I've shut the door. And Jesus knocks. And he says, open up. I'm here to spend time with you. It's hard to trust in those kinds of times, I know, but we need to trust that God really is in control, even when his blessings don't seem to be coming according to your plans. Remember that God sees the whole parade from beginning to end. I'm glad of that. He doesn't see just where you are. He sees where you've been. He sees where you are, and he sees where you're going. He already knows. And so you can trust him because he knows the way. And he'll direct your steps if you believe and if you trust. And if you want to spend time with him, he will. Verses 18 and 19 again say, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? What things? All the things that happened to Jesus as he prepared and then suffered the cross of Calvary. What things? All the things that matter most in life. The kinds of things that make our hearts burn with the good news of the Savior and eternal life. What things? Those things that have you perplexed today and have your eyes holden from seeing the Lord Jesus at work. Sometimes we feel abandonment by him because our plans aren't being fruitful. What things are keeping you from spending time with him and hearing him speak? And he wants to hear from you. He wants you to tell him that which is troubling your heart the most. And then you listen to him, because he does have the answer. I would say to you today who may be here and you've never trusted this Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life, that what he came to do really did happen. He really did die on the cross. He really did die for the sins of all the world. He really did shed his blood, and he really did rise on the third day. History records that. It really happened. And he really wants to come into your life today and redeem you from your sin and give you everlasting life in heaven. He really wants to do that if you would ask him to come in. That's all you have to do, is believe that he did it for you and then simply tell him, Lord, I'm calling upon your name right now. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm repenting of my sin. I am turning from my sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me for all the sin that I've ever done in all my life. And I believe that you shed your blood for me, and I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior Guide my life. Help me to follow you on my road to Emmaus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Live big in me. Oh, just that easy. And the Lord Jesus will honor his word, and he will come and live in your life and change your whole life forever. Sometimes, though, as Christians, we get off track. We get caught up in our ideas. We get caught up in our plans. And things aren't working like they ought to. And then Jesus comes along and he says, what things are going on in your life? What things are keeping you from seeing me? Tell me about them right now. Let me come in and spend some time with you. Open the door so we can get things straight. That's what he does. Would you let him do it? He's here today. He's walking down the roads of your heart. Would you let him do what he wants to do? It's up to you. You call the shot. Our Father, this morning we do come before your presence, and Lord, we know that you're a God who really does care for us. And Lord, in those times of our lives when it seems like we've been abandoned, Lord, it's not you, it's us. God, would you forgive us when we have just considered our own plans and not yours? Would you forgive us, Father, when we have allowed the dust of our road to Emmaus to cloud our vision and not be able to see you or recognize you? Lord, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you, Lord, that you don't ever get off of our road, Lord. You're still there with us. And so, Lord, we pray that our eyes would be open and that we would see you for who you are and all of your glory and all of your majesty. And, God, that you would do your work in our hearts. Lord, would you heal the brokenhearted today? And, God, would you light within us a heart that is on fire for you? Lord, in these moments, whatever you wish to do, I pray, God, we just give you permission to do it. For those who need to be saved, for those who need to let Jesus come into their life, I pray today that they would do that. And at the invitation, Father, would get out of their pew and come right down here in the front, Lord. And there'll be someone, Lord, to help them know from your word what they need to do. And Lord, for others who are so burdened with plans that haven't gelled and plans that haven't developed, oh God, I pray that they would see you and just spend time with you and learn of your plan. God, we're going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're going to do in these lives today. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 321. As we stand together and sing, would you come today, give your life to Jesus? Maybe you just need to come and spend some time with him around this altar today. Whatever it is, God waits for you to come. He's here. He's traveling your road. Let's stand together. Give your heart to the Lord. Don't wait. Take care of that right now. Come. Amen, amen. Thank you for your presence this morning and your prayers together. Would you be seated for just a moment, please? I'm going to ask if the Milliker family would come and let us present to you your baptismal certificate and Bible. You come. Carol, God bless you on your baptism today. This Bible is from our body of deacons, and there's your certificate, and you'll remember this spiritual marker in your life today. Amen. John, God bless you, brother. And Joy, God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Dennis, lead us in our prayer benediction, please.
this be the land of the free? Could this be the land of the free? Let salvation's waves crash on these shores again, and the tide of your great love come rushing in. This be the land of the free. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the roar when the people rose to sing on Jesus Christ the risen one? Jesus, did you feel the people tremble? And did you hear the singers roar when the lost began to sing on Jesus Christ the saving one? And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations. When young and old return to Jesus,